Hey you, yeah you, come join our Discord. The Mixing Music Discord server is filled with tons of awesome information and people. People that can help you out and information that can help you grow your business and to help you improve your mixes. So come join us and find the invitation link at mixingmusicpodcast.com. Hello and welcome back to the Mixing Music Podcast. I'm your host DK, and with me today, as always, is my lovely co-host, Postnam Lou.
Oh yeah, getting that good postnam clarity.
I didn't realize that that's where you're trying to go. Also, are we just giving up on the L names?
No, it's not that, but I feel very much postnam. So I was like, you know what, today I am postnam Lou.
Dude, post-nam, I took like a 2-3 hour nap on Sunday.
Dude, I woke up at 4 p.m. I have never in my life woken up so late.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
For I didn't know you were a degenerate video gamer like that.
Dude, I'm just a degenerate in general. I'm a general degenerate.
Well, welcome back to the podcast. If this is the first episode that we're recording after we got copyright striked by fraudulently copyright stricken by Spotify, who forced us to remove our entire podcast off Spotify, which I think currently it's not on Apple. So I need to look into this after this recording.
Yeah.
But we've probably released some episodes. I don't know if we're going to release some episodes. This might be the first episode back actually. And then I'll do some of the other episodes we recorded previously later. Mm-hmm. But a lot of convoluted feelings about Spotify at the moment. And then the worst part is after about 2-3 weeks of making us wait with absolutely no reason or rhyme, they said, oh, yep, we were mistaken. We've returned your RSS feed back to normal without any reason, without any need for like, no apologies, no reason, no like, that's it. It's like, so they just like stole the SEO, like online momentum that we had.
And didn't even at least give us a shirt saying we're sorry.
Yeah. Spotify told me that they're sorry. I want a t-shirt that says that. Anyway. We are back. This week was NAMM. This weekend was NAMM. NAMM was great. We saw a lot of, more importantly, like people, a lot of friends and people. Yeah. But a lot of cool products as well, things that we're excited about. We'll talk a little bit about that. But first, we do want to shout out to who posted these. Give me a second. Hanip Music, hopefully I'm pronouncing that right, initiated this on our Discord. He's like, courage to be disliked drinking game. Take a shot every time the youth is in disbelief. Take a shot every time the word Adlerian is mentioned. Take a shot every time the youth disagrees. Take a shot every time he agrees. Take a shot every time they take a break. Take a shot every time the philosopher summarizes the discussion in a well-written manner. Take a shot every time the youth reminisces what was discussed previously. Take a shot every chapter start. And which triggered Lou to ask, what would the Mixing Music Podcast drinking game shot rules be? And here's Riahu on Discord said, take a shot every time Lou says, because of that. Take a shot every time DK stops to consider whether or not he should say what he's about to say.
That one's one of my favorite ones.
Take a shot every time Lou brings up Pokemon cards. Take a shot every time DK goes on a philosophical rant. Take a shot every time DK interrupts Lou. That's that one's
what's
good.
Funny is like we've had conversations of that in the past. Like we've laughed about it, but we've never had anybody make it so funny.
You have to realize, like, we both are hyper aware that this is an issue that I have. And
yeah, but we both roll with it.
And here's the thing is me still doing it is me actively trying not to do it. So yeah. Anyway, that's just crazy. Take a shot every time Lou says, I will say this, or what I will say is this. And take a shot every time DK laughs.
When I first heard that one, I was like, I sound like a fucking announcer. Yeah. What I will say is this.
my favorite one's at the end. It's Hanep Music added, take a shot every Lou nickname that's already been used. Take a shot whenever DK mentions the podcast is impromptu and they didn't have any prep. Just a reminder, this podcast is totally just on the spot.
Yeah, this is literally off-rip, guys. Literally off-rip.
Take a shot whenever they go on a tangent. Take a shot whenever DK doesn't understand a figure of speech.
Don't make an anthill over a molehole.
Yeah, dude. Don't make an anthill out of a molehole. No sweat off my ass. Take a shot whenever philosophy is involved. Take a shot whenever Lou mentions the phrase, you know what's funny? That you do say that a lot,
I do say that a lot.
Take a shot whenever DK says, bitch. By the way, this is the only one. Like, yours, you have, like, two or three different, like, catchphrases. Bitch is the only catchphrase that I have in this list. Take a shot whenever they praise Bob Horn the goat. Ooh.
Yes, shout out to Bob.
Yeah, take a shot for the final thoughts. And then Riahu added, take an additional thought for the final thoughts if they're bringing up the final thoughts and you can see that there's still half the episode left to go. That's my favorite one. That's my favorite one. Okay, we're gonna finish and still an hour after the mark.
Alrighty, guys, so final thoughts on this game. No.
And then Lou said, that's a double shot, actually. Take a shot if it's going to be, and then you added, take a shot if they say it's going to be a quick episode and it's an hour long anyways. If anyone plays this game, I hope they don't die.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Or at least have an Uber driver.
Yeah, have an Uber driver. Man, that's horrible and amazing. Add more in the Discord or on the Spotify comments or on the YouTube comments, wherever this is at. Add more drinking game rules because these are funny to us. These are great. Anyway, welcome back to the Mixing Music Podcast after a strange and wild break. NAMM, Lou, you worked NAMM this year.
Man, worked.
Was it Wolf,
like,
Audio, or was it a distribution company, or was it, who was it specifically?
So Sound Vision Works hired me to represent for Wolf Audio. And then I actually got to meet with Paul and actually talk to him for a bit, which is cool because, like, I had met him in passing before, kind of those, you know, NAMM passing meetings, you know what I mean? But this time I actually got, like, to stand there, talk to him about mixing and all that kind of stuff. And he actually gave me some, like, things to try out for mixes that apparently they referenced a couple of YouTubers. And I want to watch the videos before I talk too much on it because I don't fully know if this will work. But I did try it at one of the shows at NAMM and it seemingly worked live. But they're claiming that it works really well studio.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to leave it there because I don't want to say something and be like, oh, that sounded like shit. Never mind. Don't do that. You know, but they're raving about this method. So I'm like, let me try it first and then we'll talk about it.
Okay. Sweet. Yeah. So we're not talking about it right now. Sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, well, let's see. You worked at a booth. So, excuse me. That was a long yawn. My bad.
You still got those post-NAMM yawns going. I know those yawns.
Yeah. Did you get to see the other booths? Get to travel around much?
I went to specific booths that I had specific intentions with. But outside of that, this year was probably my least adventured year.
I was going to say. That's like the one downside for working for a specific booth is...
But I will say this. It was also my most talkative year. Not because of the booth, but because of... Once again, you had mentioned seeing a lot of friends.
Yeah. NAMM is great, especially as it compounds year over year. Like, the more people you know, the more fun it is, the more friendly it is. Yeah, man. This was my favorite year because I think, one, we weren't that tired because we only went 1.5 days instead of 3 full days.
Lucky.
Yeah, for real. And then... So I've never done that before, like going less.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, knowing the most amount of people. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Some of one of my favorite highlights was just the second day hanging around
Saturday.
In front of your booth and Mixland booth with Jesse. And then Greasy for $1 was giving away terrible advice. Or actually it ended up being like pretty decent advice, but.
Yeah, there was I asked him a pretty decent question and then followed up with a good follow-up curveball question.
Dude,
I think you knew what it was.
Yeah, dude, I think that my favorite one that I heard someone else ask and him answer, I don't remember what the question was, but the answer is like, the hardest part about getting married a fourth time is convincing the girl, convincing the woman that she's fourth in line. She's not his first. Like, you're not number one, you're number four.
At that point,
if
you break up, it's like, it's your fault. You saw the track record.
Yeah, he just had a baby, so congrats to him.
Yeah, I mean, he's everyone's favorite, like, that.
He's like the industry's favorite drunk uncle.
Yeah. And it was funny because he told me, he's like, you know, that's why I'm out here fucking with a hoodie and glasses, because I saw him on Friday too. And he had those lighters. Oh, stupid me, forgot to grab one of the lighters. But it, he's like, yeah, just stop me. But like, you're going to have to find me in the crowd because I'm kind of not liked everywhere. And I'm like, that's bullshit. Everybody likes you for your honesty. He's like, you'd be surprised. I'm like, people who don't like honesty have a different problem going on. It's not you.
That's funny. That's funny. Well, he does like kind of rile people up emotionally. It's sometimes being assertive is not about honesty. Sometimes it's about presentation. So yeah. That being said, yeah, if people articulate honesty specifically, it's not about honesty. Mm-hmm. Yeah, talking about that, ooh, there is another thing that I learned that I want to share later that would be okay. Useful. But what else about NAMM? Some cool plugins?
I think something that I found really awesome about NAMM, and this is going to sound nerdy, but I think you'll agree with me at the end of this. I saw a lot of 3D printed products. A lot. And I know that
Nope. I saw more last year, to be honest.
No.
So I think this is you.
Not in a booth. People walking around without a booth, trying to showcase their ideas, really having a creative thought and saying, hey, I think I found a solution. This is kind of like a prototype. It's an idea. I'm just trying to see who I can talk to about getting these things manufactured. Who do you guys work with? And there's a lot of bootstrapping going on, and 3D printing has really made it possible to where I saw headphones that were being prototyped at NAMM, where they had different band styles, they had different weaving, they had different can. It was just really cool because they were like actually showcasing all the different ideas they had through the different print type material. So you didn't have to get a manufacturer involved. If you don't have machined aluminum access, then hey, a 3D printer is a great way to prototype something. Try to fine tune it. You see a little mistake, no worries. In 2 hours, you've got another print out and you could really, you know, try to dial in what it is. And a lot of these guys were coming out saying, if I left something with you, could you just try it out and let me know what you would change about it? Which is actually a very cheap and easily accessible way to get feedback from the community. Yeah. I thought that was really cool. I really like bootstrapping. I like people who like are willing to get down and dirty, even if they don't have a full plan yet, just to get the idea out there and just see if it's viable or not. So I found that like the most charming part about NAMM. I just saw a lot of bootstrappers walking around.
And if anybody's, if everybody can't already tell from how Lou's talking about this, Lou did in fact get a 3D printer about a month ago.
Yeah. Yeah. DK's got his gift and Jesse Ray got his own gift.
So it is his current hyperfixation. But you might be right, actually. I saw a lot of booths and a lot of prototyping as well last year, more within non-pro audio circles, like within the instrument circles as well.
Yeah.
As you walked around.
I did see a 3D
I saw less
flute.
This year. I did see less booths and products and less people doing what you're talking about, but that I wasn't also static in one place in one booth talking to people with products in their hands. So...
Like, I got handed one that I thought was hilarious, and I'm not pulling this up because I prepped it. It literally was just right next to me. These stupid little things, and I'm calling them stupid those? Not because, yeah, right? You look at them and you're
hold
like,
on,
what
by the
is
way,
these
for audio-only audio-only podcast audio listeners, audio-only, it looks like what Lou's holding up is, it looks like skateboard bushings. That's what it looks like. I have no idea. It looks like some sort of plastic washer or like skateboard bushings. What are those, Lou?
So you know how like on cheaper mic stands, the rubber tends to kind of like squeeze and deteriorate over time and then the stand starts to boom down? A guy 3D printed with TPE plastic, which is actually very resilient. It's very flexible and stuff there like that. So it takes friction really well. He's like, I made these specifically for onstage cheaper stands, those $20, $30 ones that break after a month. He's like, it's usually the plastic. This plastic is 10 times stronger than the one it comes with.
Nice. Actually, yeah. That is a solid solution for a really important, like a good problem.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's one of those solution. Where I'm like, he's walking around. And he's like, I just, you know, I print them out and then I hand them to like live venues. And I'm like, that's actually a really smart idea. If you have a 3D printer at home and you're local to a space and you see that the stands are going bad, that's probably a quick little buck you can make, you know, just going to local spots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lou, have you made any solution? Are you just like printing fun stuff and designing fun stuff right now? Or do you tend to be the inventor type, or do you tend to be just like the creative
type? More inventor type. So I do like a lot of tool parts. So things that I wish were compatible with other things, and then I make the actual adapters for them. Something else I recently did, I created like a clamp for my desk to where I can actually hold the monitor at the edge of the desk, lapel. So the lapel actually hangs off of the desk, so it's not eating up desk space.
Nice.
And it literally just slides off and slides in. There's no grip grip or anything because it's perfectly sized to my desk.
By the way, for anybody listening, lapel is one specific Amazon company brand that makes portable USB-powered desktop monitors.
Yeah.
So like that's what Lou and I use like when we travel with our non-laptops, like our standalone computers.
Like Mac Minis or Mac Studios. Yeah.
We need to have like a portable computer monitor, and lapel is short. We use that colloquially between us. That's what that is, a portable monitor.
I'm not exactly a tech genius, but I knew one thing for sure. If I wanted my small business to crush it, I needed a website that worked like a pro, and I needed it yesterday. Lucky for me, Bluehost made it ridiculously easy. With their AI design tools, building my website was a walk in the park. I could customize, optimize, and monetize everything exactly how I wanted. In just a few minutes, I had a secure site up and running. I couldn't believe how straightforward it was. And getting found online? Bluehost helped me with that too. I perfected my keywords and meta descriptions with their search engine tools. The AI even gave me suggestions to improve my pages. Now I can sit back, relax, and focus on my customers while my website continues to rank higher and higher on Google. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, I wasn't worried about taking the plunge, and now I'm so glad I did. Head over to Bluehost.com and build something special today.
One thing that I think you'll get a kick out of is, you remember the old Arlo cameras that were in the studio?
Yeah, I gave those to you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I created two different kind of molds for them. One that faces perfectly down, so it's like a mount with a ring around the inner side of it so that it lays perfectly flat facing down into the 3D printer so I can keep an eye on it from my phone when I'm not home, because some prints take hours. And another one I put in my working area in the backyard. I have a giant tent, and I created a mount that actually holds onto the bars, and it wraps around the body kind of like a glove.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Do you, for these like parts and stuff, wouldn't it, I'm just curious, like I feel like it'd be more practical, and I'm wondering if you already do this, it'd be more practical to find parts that already exist for different solutions, like the Arlo one, which I'm sure if it existed is pretty easy to find, and then modding after that, or are you doing it completely from scratch every time?
Completely from scratch. It's the same software I use for studio design.
So like you take measurements and do all that before instead of something similar and then using that as measurements and then changing it from there.
Exactly. Like I actually prototyped before NAMM a top mount for the Avid S6L console that I had to use all 3 days of NAMM. It has this weird, really shallow top that has a slight angle to it. And I was like, you know, it'd be really nice if they actually made like a shelving piece for this to actually hold like the lapel for recording purposes, or like an RTA mic that could just be mounted to the top of it. And so I 3D printed a plate that goes on it. The only downside is that Avid console for $120,000, surprisingly thin aluminum. Like it couldn't handle the weight of a lapel. So even though the printout worked out, the framing on that console is just way too thin to hold it.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, well, people want to hear about NAMM. So what else? I actually didn't see, well, first off, like the things that stood out, Blackline Audio continues to make more and more useful and cool products. This time they have like a digitized patch bay where you can digitally label all the different inserts, outputs, inputs.
That's cool. So it's still like an analog patch bay where you manually patch it, but they've actually digitized the faceplate of it.
Yeah, and they worked with Shure and Korneff Audio. Korneff is the digital plugin maker. I love Korneff Audio plugins. Yeah. They do Pawn Shop Comp and the Amplified Instrument
Processor.
I like
the Pawn Shop one.
Yeah. And they worked with Korneff to make the digital version. They're going to release that or something like that. And then they worked with Shure to make, maybe it wasn't Blackline. I'm pretty sure it was Blackline, to make the level lock or like the specific dirty compressor that like is
they
like
were right
only
next to our
crushing.
Booth.
Yeah. It's like a hyper crush devil lock type compressor.
Yeah.
Which devil lock is an emulation of the level lock, if I'm not mistaken, actually. Now that I'm thinking about that, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And that's cool. Let's see. It was good to see. Audioscape has released like 6 new products, including like the, I think it was like the DE, the deluxe editions of the 1176s with high pass filters and mix dry, wet knob, mix knob on the device, along with like the deluxe edition SSL style bus comp and a couple other, 606 total new units. What else happened? finally got to see Leslie Brathwaite. Got to see Leslie after
Oh,
like
where did you find
years.
Him after tracking him?
Yeah, dude, I was tracking him. Oh, and his plugin, the what was it? The Bowl Safari. Hold
the
on,
bowl?
It's from Safari Pedals. Safari Pedals just came out with the new plugin from Leslie Brathwaite. It's the Bowl Submachine. It's only $30 right now. It's on sale. It's $30 right now. The Bowl Submachine. It's great. It's specifically good. I think the best use case for this, I'll talk about it in a moment, but I saw Leslie, this is like the Leslie Brathwaite Bowl Submachine from Safari Pedals. They make good stuff all the time, and this plugin specifically is really great because usually Leslie for low end is a fan of first the Voice of God from Little Labs, which we know.
I knew I liked this guy.
Yeah, and then obviously like the Pultec stuff and a couple other tools that he uses, but specifically the Voice of God is something that he loves a lot. The interesting thing is that the Voice of God is a resonant high pass filter. So it does a low end bump with like a low mid, slight low mid cut, and it's a high pass. So it kind of removes the mud from like the super subs. So it kind of emphasizes the low end, but it also keeps it fairly clean. The Bull Submachine, it does that, but it doesn't high pass. So it's more of a shelf with a resonant bump.
Okay.
And then there's also a drive or like clipping module or like a saturation module, distortion module. So you can like, and it's really cool. It's useful on distorting 808s and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I will say because of that, the one thing that's different is that it eats headroom like crazy. So the Bull Submachine does boost the low end, but it's not, obviously it's not free headroom. So it eats a lot of head. It adds a lot of volume. The second thing that it does better, but this is the one positive thing that it does better at than the Voice of God, is the Voice of God kind of does this like slight little bit of, I call it like reallocating frequencies. Like it,
oh, like where it shifts its tone.
Yeah, like it reallocates some frequencies, but the Bull Submachine reallocates like low mids to mid-range to low sub frequencies a lot better. So if you want to like tonally, like some things, like for example, like in a really mid-range heavy mix, some things need not just like a little bit more boost in the top end or utilizing the low end, but they like, we need to like tonally shift the foundational majority of the frequencies heard to a different area because this area is overly congested. And
the
Bull Submachine, what's that?
The Bull Submachine?
The Bull, like bull as in cow.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm like trying to look it up now just so I don't lose out on the $30.
Yeah. The Bull Submachine does a better job at the Voice of God to reallocate frequencies in the low mids to the lows. Much better job doing reallocation and really good saturation circuit, distortion circuit at the cost of just eating headroom, which you can make up for with the distortion circuit or just mix the dry mix wet knob. And then, just general gain. But after correcting for the eaten head, like the headroom, that is, after correcting for the headroom by lowering the output or driving it or doing the mix sweat knob, that's where like you'll find out that it's mostly just reallocating frequency. So it's really great. I think it's like a different tool, and I think it's like it does it in a way that's like perfect for Leslie style mixes, where it's just like deep, deep low end, just like a ton of deep low end. But something to be used carefully because it does eat a lot of headroom. But I love this plugin. It's something that, in a way, it does a better job at. This is probably the plugin that does the best job doing that one specific thing. Because in the end of the day, I think it does something slightly different than the Voice of God. And so it kind of deserves its own subcategory. And it does a really good job at that. Like, because it also does it pretty extreme. Like, it adds a lot of low end, especially when that punch functionality is on. Anyway, Safari Pedals was there. They had Mixland was there for the first time.
Oh, yeah. 3D printed him a little My First NAMM thing.
Yeah. You did that. You 3D printed a little sign for Jesse that says My
First. Yeah, he was so confused when he looked at it. He's like, where did you get this?
Yeah, there you go. I made it. Otherwise, that's the thing with NAMM. I don't really... West Audio just came out with the NG tube comp, with the Verimu tube fully controllable comp. Otherwise, NAMM, the thing about NAMM is that, sure, it's about the products, and I'm sure that there's a lot of people that really, really care about the products. But it's most important. The reason why I recommend even going out of your way and flying to NAMM and like getting a hotel and flying to NAMM, like fairly regularly, if not every year, every other year, is that that is the place where you're going to meet your peers across the industry.
Yeah.
Not the place that you're going to get work.
Yeah. Maybe a lot of people there are doing the same thing.
I don't know about that. I think it's more about peers, because you don't hang out in the pro audio section to meet managers and A&R.
No.
You know? And managers and A&R typically
you go to the after
going,
party for that one.
Yeah, it's people that are in the demographic of looking for products. And usually products are not managers A&R. You know, so it's not like and then artists are not specific to a specific instrument. There are artists there and stuff, but it's mostly to like network with your peers and see people that are doing well. You get to see your heroes and realize that they're just humans as well, which is great to see. There's a lot of workshops and classes that you can take and sign up for. There's a lot of giveaways, so free stuff. But most importantly, it's like it's the people that you meet and get to see year over year that I think makes NAMM worth it. And I recommend, if you're a listener of the podcast and are sincere and serious, or have been in the industry for a long time and have yet been to NAMM, I recommend you make the effort to do so as like a, almost like a, as a religious pilgrimage, at least, you know.
Yeah. It's kind of funny because, and there I go saying it, it's funny. You know what's funny? Weirdly enough, I look forward to NAMM more as the idea of like, hey, I haven't seen a few people in a couple of years, and I know they're flying into town. That's the reality. It's the one time a year where you can actually say, hey, you know what? I'm going to go literally not for any of the gear or technology. We're going to get a lot of business cards while we're there. But the biggest reality is like a lot of our friends aren't all in LA. Some of the people that you want to eventually collaborate with as your peers, you know, are not all in LA, you know? So like seeing my friend Gerald Keys every year is always nice. We may not have to say a lot of words, but it's always a good time. And it's one of those like, hey man, we used to work the same part-time job together. You now work for Ludacris as his main person. Like, that's badass. And he had to move to Atlanta to do that. So outside of NAMM, I don't think there's many opportunities to see each other, because when he is in town, he's busy with work.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no, it's a really
NAMM's
good time.
An awesome place to meet up with your old friends.
There you go. So we say this every year, but we wanted to emphasize that. Also, Lou, this is slightly there's two tangents I briefly want to go on.
All right, let's do it. It's not us if we don't. Take a shot, people.
Talking about religious pilgrimages. Mm-hmm. I just bought the Yakuza pack, so I am officially playing. I started with Yakuza 0, and I'm currently on Yakuza 1 or like Kiwami.
Wait, is it actually called Yakuza 0?
Yeah, that's like the prequel.
That's
so I started
actually,
with the prequel.
Okay, I'm not going to lie. That's kind of badass.
Because Yakuza 1 is
just Yakuza.
Yeah, it's just Yakuza. Yeah. Well, Kiwami, which is the remastered version. But anyway, I bought for like $45, I bought 0 through 6. So there's like 7 games that I got for $45.
Yeah.
And I'm playing through it right now. I finished the prequel. I'm on the first one, coming to the end of the first one, and talking about religious pilgrimages. That's the weeb, nerdy video gamer pilgrimage that we must all take. Second off, you like Pokemon cards. You know what I like? I have a new card addiction that I have that I've been sharing on my Instagram. So if you want to follow and see me post about them every once in a while.
Cards Against Humanity?
It's not Cards Against Humanity. It's a cards of logical fallacies and cognitive biases. So it's just...
Okay.
So I've been posting about
them.
I'm
actually kind of curious as to who made this and what they're like.
Yeah, dude. It's just... It's a company. I don't know what the company name is. It's just critical thinking cards. This is like the most autistic thing you could possibly... I'm just kidding. So like the one for today, for this episode, this is my favorite one because I love this one for... the highly open, empathetic musicians in the world. Your bias is the just world hypothesis. Your preference for a just world makes you presume that it exists. A world in which people don't always get what they deserve is an uncomfortable one that threatens our preferred narrative. A more just world requires understanding rather than blame. Try to remember that we're all fallible and that bad things happen to good people.
I like
That's
it.
A good bias, huh? Yeah. All right. And maybe we'll share one bias per episode for the next 24 episodes and then call each other out on our logical fallacies. No, we're not going to do that. Yeah. We're not going to do that. But anyway,
you know,
that's
I prefer
my
a world
cards.
Where there's absolutely no low-ended mixes. Like, just shove off everything under 200.
Oh, like Japan, Japanese music. That's just Japanese music in general.
You know, I never thought about that, but low-key.
Yeah, no, for sure, absolutely. Unless it was mixed by an American, because they are going for that sound. Yeah, like Japanese mixes traditionally, even in modern day areas, like it has to sound like it's coming out of an NS10. Anyway, we're getting a little out of tangent. Our next episode, I think, is going to be pretty interesting as well. So thank you for joining us on the Mixing Music Podcast. I don't know, we might have some, we're going to make an announcement if it happens, but because Spotify pissed me off, we might just change how we do the exclusive episodes. We might not. I might change my hosting platforms because we switched to hosting through Spotify like recently. That's why all the exclusive episodes has been through Spotify, and you could see what you're missing out on if you're not already a subscriber. But the thing that sucks about that is ever since we did that, that's when Spotify fraudulently did a copyright claim, and I think it was just somebody that was pissed off or someone angry or whatever, or may not be. It may have been like...
Damn, did we greasy will someone?
Sure, I guess. For whatever reason, we might not host through them. Because once we hosted through them, because we're hosting through Spotify and Spotify took it down, we were unable to upload to other platforms like Apple, and which is where most of our listeners are. Most of our listeners are on Apple. So that just freaking sucks. So I'm going to consider there might be some changes. But for now, go ahead and keep listening. Please subscribe. And... do counter the haters by leaving a 5-star review or 5-star like on our rating on our podcast, because we really, really need that momentum that we had.
In fact, make another shot rule. Like, if you can do that in the comments, like, I'll screenshot it.
Yeah, just listen to more episodes because of that. I don't know. We lost a lot of momentum, unfortunately, and hopefully that Spotify won't punish us after doing something that they neglected on. That would be kicking us while we're down after they're the ones that put us down. That's crazy. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. Happy mixing, my friends, and stay saucy. If you're serious about getting better at mixing and producing, this is for you. Our Patreon gives you access to weekly ad-free technical episodes, plus a library of over 250 past episodes packed with mixing, mastering, and production knowledge you won't find anywhere else. Don't miss out. Join now at mixingmusicpodcast.com/exclusive and start learning today.